Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, Titans practice off today. They're back at it tomorrow. They play a week from tomorrow at Atlanta. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be on the sidelines in his Titans polo, getting everybody excited for that. But it'll be good to have the preseason back, as always, starting 1 week. In a couple hours, the Hall of Fame game, and I will say this, we'll get into the Hall of Fame game maybe later. I am not a Hall of Fame game crapper. I am pro Hall of Fame game. So I am excited about that. But we got a lot to digest at Titans camp. DeShone Kizer has been released today. Matt Barkley has been signed. I think he's just going to be the third string quarterback that is brought into work here, but a big roster change nonetheless. There's a lot of different topics that have been going on at Titans camp. And so I decided to have Caroline, who's been out there, the only afternoon show in town that goes to practice. Caroline's been out there. I've been out there. So I want Caroline to hit us with some buying and some selling. It's time to buy or sell. Caroline, the floor is yours.
So I have a few predictions or possible scenarios. I want you to tell me if you're going to buy or sell, and then based off of what you've seen from camp.
Okay.
First and foremost, buy or sell, Nick Westbrook Akina will not make the team.
Oof. That's a good one. I'm going to sell, and here's what I'm going to sell. I'm going to sell because I feel like they will use a DB in that gunner position, and I think they're going to keep Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers. So I think the wide receiver room right now is four automatics: Jones, Brown, Reynolds, Des Fitzpatrick, because you used a fourth-round pick on it. Mm-hmm. The second thing is Chester Rogers, I think, makes the team because he's the punt returner. That's five. Normally, you like to have six or seven, so Westbrook Akina could be six, but I think Marcus Johnson is a better receiver than Westbrook Akina, that he gets the sixth spot. They'll try him out as a gunner. They'll use some of these DBs like Dane Cruikshank, who's going to return off of an injury. They'll use him at gunner. They'll do something to figure that position out. And they'll keep the better receiver. Westbrook Akina won't make it. And I think if they go seven, which you see every now and then, Racy McMath might get that spot before Westbrook Akina would, but that's who he's battling with.
Next one. The Titans bring back Steven Goskowski.
That's tough. So there was a report today that they worked out Zane Gonzalez, who was a kicker in Arizona and in Cleveland. And Here's I'm going to take you through chronologically my feeling on the kicking position. I talked to somebody who would know, who told me after OTAs they were not comfortable with the two kickers they had, Hobiel and McCann.
Hobiel's been dismissed.
And Hobiel's been cut. I went to practice the first week. I thought McCann was clearly better than Hobiel. Mm-hmm. They released Hobiel. I have now seen enough from McCann. I'm ready to let him go too. Now, they brought in Sam Thicken. And Thicken's got some NFL experience. I am ready to move on from Tucker McCann. I can cut him today. I mean, I told you yesterday after practice, I'm like, seen enough. And everybody was like, well, they made a lot of kicks and they, eh.
He made a 53-yarder and then missed a couple 40-yarders. I think he's too inconsistent. He's made some solid kicks. He's had some good days.
He really hasn't. I mean, he's had some okay days.
Yeah.
And he's had some bad misses. And look, I mean, Cairo Santos, people forget, when the Titans signed Cairo Santos when Ryan Suckup was hurt at the beginning of 2019, he was hitting 50-yarders. I mean, he had a 50-yarder against Cleveland. He had a 50-yarder against Atlanta. He blew the Buffalo game. Once he blew the Buffalo game, see ya. All it takes is one. Ask Scott Norwood. All it takes is one. So I look at this, and I think to myself, he's gone. I'd cut him. I'm done. I think they're going to bring somebody else in. Zane Gonzalez is an example of this. Mm-hmm. They've already brought in Sam Thicken. I think they want it to not be Goskowski. I think they originally wanted one of those two guys to win the job. Neither guy's going to win the job. I think that now they're looking around the league. Somebody is going to get cut. I'm going to sell on Goskowski, and here's why. I think they're looking for an experienced guy to get cut somewhere else, and they will add that guy before week one. Doesn't mean that guy will be any good. But we've always seen it. Young guy beats out a veteran guy. They'll sign the veteran guy. It's how they got Ryan Suckup the first time. So I'm going to sell on Steven Goskowski, though I'm not ruling it out either.
That was TD's bold prediction for the Titans this season.
I did see that.
That they would bring back Steven Goskowski. But buy or sell, Caleb Farley will defend DeAndre Hopkins week one.
Sell. I don't think that they're not going to push this. I think you're going to, even if Farley plays at the beginning, mm-hmm. it'll be situationally. It will not be, I don't believe that it will be, you know, right away. The other thing that I believe about the Titans is I believe the Titans are going to kind of go, you know, this is the way it's been, is one guy plays one side of the field, the other guy plays the other side of the field. And so, I like, now they are going to, they want man-to-man corners. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, then maybe you tell one of the two guys. First of all, DeAndre Hopkins is not getting matched up one-on-one, period. Like, they're not, that first week of the year, they're not going to go man for man.
Right.
And tell Jackrabbit Jenkins, hey, you've got DeAndre Hopkins. There's going to be safety help. There may be another DB involved. But I think they would rather have the more experienced Jenkins on Hopkins than Farley in his first start. The only way I could see Farley on Hopkins is if they literally doubled him every play. And then it's like, okay, Jackrabbit's got the other guy man for man. And Farley, then Farley's going to have basically double, you know, and I think it would be another corner. I think you'd probably see Chris Jackson maybe help double. But, yeah, no. So I'm going to sell on the idea that the Titans are going to be comfortable enough week one to say, go get him, Farley.
One-on-one.
Not going to happen. What's that?
Dylan Raidens will start multiple games this season by yourself.
Sell.
Do you think he'll start?
Sell.
Do you think he will start one game this season?
I don't think Dylan Raidens will be active for the first month of the year. I think the Titans are in a really tough spot because when you draft a guy in the second round, I think this is like a being honest with everybody kind of thing. When you draft a guy in the second round, you draft that guy to play. Like when the Titans drafted Samari Roll in the second round, it was to play. When they drafted Tank Williams in the second round, it was to play. When they drafted Tyrone Calico in the second round, it was to play. When you draft a guy in the second round, it is to play. And here you are, second year in a row, you drafted a tackle, and it looks like the guy's going to need a redshirt year. You know, I was talking to TD, and TD doesn't seem all that concerned by it. I am concerned. I'm concerned that it doesn't even appear to be an option for Raidens to be the starting right tackle. I think right now, the way they're probably looking at it is, and I don't know what Aaron Brewer's injury is, but he was the backup guard last year who is now on the non-football injury list. And he's a second-year guy, so he's got some NFL experience. But if Brewer is healthy, I think he's the backup guard and backup center. I think then you've got three tackles, Sambrylo, Quessenberry, and Lamb. You don't need Dylan Raidens active on game day, and he's not ready. I mean, he got pancaked by a guy I have never heard of the other day. I believe it was Woodrow Hamilton IV. I don't even know who that is. And he got pancaked.
He struggled.
I mean, Raidens is not ready. I actually talked to Trevor Match about that today. Like, because I, you know, normally one thing that would be easy to ask a Floyd or, you know, that kind of guy is, you know, how long until you get nervous about rookies? Like, how long, you know, how much of it is, look, man, a rookie? Like, all the rookies are behind right now. Des Fitzpatrick's not in, you know, Des Fitzpatrick doesn't look like he can play right now. Brady Breeze got kicked out of practice the other day. Racy McMath has disappeared since the first day. Elijah Molden's fine, but I wouldn't put him over Chris Jackson right now. Caleb Farley doesn't do anything on the field. Like, how long until you start to get worried about, you know, a rookie? And Trevor said to me that give Raidens time. So he said, I liked Raiden's fit here in terms of overall toughness and on-field feistiness. That's the nature of the offense, but now he needs to show three things. Great effort in practice, better control on run blocks, play guard, and like to me, maybe if there's injuries, he starts, but I'm not sure. Raidens is not active right now. Here's the problem with the roster. They're going to have to keep Raidens, and they're going to have to keep Des Fitzpatrick. And I don't think if you had a game tomorrow, either guy's active. And I don't know how you can do that.
Your second, your fourth round pick.
I don't know how you can make picks and have guys that can't get to game day.
Well, Joe Rexroad did mention this morning that when he saw Nate Davis in his rookie season, that in the beginning he didn't look great, but he's also a third round pick.
No. Because I texted Joe and I corrected him on this. Nate Davis got hurt the first day of camp. So Nate Davis, and Joe even said on the air, hey, Jared corrected me on this. because he said this, and I was like, hold on, that's not what happened.
That's fair.
Nate Davis, Ian, you remember this. Nate Davis got hurt. There were two guys that were going to play guard. You know, kind of like how we thought the tackle position was going to be Kendall Lamb mm-hmm. versus Dylan Raidens. It was Nate Davis and Kevin Pamphiel. You remember Pamphiel, Ian?
Oh, yeah. How could you forget?
How could you forget meaningless, worthless Pamphiel? So they get both guys out there, and Davis gets hurt like the first day. And this was Vrabel's second year, so Vrabel's like, Johnny, I'm not talking about injuries. And so Davis is just gone. Like, we don't see him. And then Pamphiel gets hurt, so they're stuck with Jameel Douglas, who stinks, at right guard, and it was bad. And then they got Davis in there, and he worked his way after a couple of weeks into being a decent player. But I think Nate Davis was, they were trying to give him that job out of camp. He got hurt the first day. So it's not the same because we just didn't see Nate Davis. So did Nate Davis get better? Yeah, Nate Davis got better. But, I mean, Raidens is behind right now. And Davis was behind too. Different players, though. And I don't think it's comparable because it wasn't. We've seen Raidens be bad. Mm-hmm. We didn't see Davis be bad. We just didn't see Davis because he was hurt.
Fair.
So I'm going to sell right now on Dylan Raidens. What's next?
You mentioned Chester Rogers returning punts. Buy or sell, Darrington Evans will also return punts for the Titans this season.
Zero chance of that sell. I don't think he's ever returned punts before. So he's returned kickoffs, but I'm not sure he's ever returned punts. I think the most likely scenario is this. Chester Rogers returns punts. Mason Kinsey or Cam Batson gets to the practice squad. Kinsey will definitely get to the practice squad. That guy would be there to field punts in case you needed it. But John Robinson did this before the 2016 season, where they didn't have a punt returner, and he signed Mark Mariani to come in that year. Mariani was done at that point in his career, couldn't run anymore. Literally, the one job he had was to fair catch the ball every time. Mm-hmm. And I think Robinson will do that, go get a guy to do that, before he sticks a guy back there that doesn't know what they're doing. They've tried that with Adoree Jackson. It was an unmitigated disaster. They tried that with Cam Batson against Jacksonville. Cost him a safety. They are not going to risk that this year. I think it's Rodgers and then maybe one of those guys in the practice squad, but I think they'll have another guy out there. They'll look at the waiver wire like they will kicker to find somebody maybe to return punts.
Brian Hill is another name that was thrown out there to be a possible punt returner for the Titans.
Yeah, I am. Brian Hill, I mean, he's a guy. Buying or selling with Caroline. I kind of like that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Paul Kaharsky had an opinion today on our morning show. And it is one that I think Titan fans actually need to hear. I can't believe I'm saying that. I think Titan fans need to hear this because I think there's maybe a little optimism on something that there should be some optimism for. But you know in training camp when there's a little optimism, you know what that turns into. That turns into big optimism. And I think Paul had the perfect take on it. And that's what I think we should go by. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com right here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell all the fine folks out there something very, very, very important. I mean, just so incredibly important to me that I need to tell all the people that tomorrow it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game Sunday, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 9:45 a.m. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, or streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How have you seen Anthony Burcher develop in your time here, and how do you think he's equipped for this season?
I mean, Fursker is he's a top flight tight end in my opinion. Like I said, I've went against Delaney my first couple of years, and then John New as well. I will definitely put Fursker right up there. You know, honestly, I think that you know the dynamics of our offense right now, when you got Julio and AJ and you got Derek, you know, that's the main focal points. You know, I think working that middle of the field, I think Fursker's going to have a day, or you know, have a year. Not making any predictions or anything he's going to do. But I am excited about what he's going to be able to do this year. Because, I mean, I worked out with him a few times at Lipscomb. So I know the type of work that he's been putting in. I know he's super excited to have the opportunity that he's having this year. But like you said, with John departing.
There you go. That was Kevin Byard talking about top flight tight end. And remember, Delaney Walker said that Anthony Fursker is going to be elite this year. And I've seen Anthony Fursker play this year in practice. He looks fine. I mean, he looks like Anthony Fursker. Now I'm worried about the blocking. And apparently I'm the only person in the world that cares about Anthony Firkser's blocking, and everybody seems to get mad at me every time that I bring up that blocking is part of the job of a tight end, but it should be discussed that for the last 3 years, the man has run on the field only when Derrick Henry runs off the field. And now in order to be the number one tight end of the Titans, you need to be on the field when Derrick Henry is on the field. But Delanie Walker said elite, Kevin Byard said top flight, and I have heard from a lot of Titans fans that are looking at Firkser and are saying, hey, think about this. Everybody's going to be worried about Derek. Everybody's going to be worried about Julio. Everybody's going to be worried about AJ. Anthony Firkser could have a season. He could be the real deal. He could be this. He could be that. He could. Let's calm down. I thought about this. We've talked about this before. The 2006 Colts that won the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning is going in the Hall of Fame this weekend. Edgerrin James is going in the Hall of Fame this weekend. Marvin Harrison's already in the Hall of Fame, as are Tony Dungy, Bill Polian, and Reggie Wayne is probably going to get into the Hall of Fame someday, though. If I got a vote, I would say no. Their tight end that year was Ben Utek. That's what you need out of Anthony Firkser, is Ben Utek. And so they asked this morning on Robbie and Retro, they asked Paul Kaharski. They asked him, do you think that Firkser can be a number one tight end? Here's what Kaharski said.
No. I mean, number one tight end in this league looks like Travis Kelce. Anthony Firkser and Travis Kelce have miles between them. I don't know why we're forcing the issue on that. Anthony Firkser can be good in what they do, but he's not going to be a number one wide receiver. I mean, a number one tight end. It's just silly talk. If you think he's going to be Travis Kelce, you're setting yourself up for giant disappointment.
Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league.
Well, he just, I mean, people are talking. Like Kevin Byard said the other day, what did he say, Rex Road?
Top flight tight end.
Top flight.
Yeah. Well, that to me is ridiculous.
Well, right, but that.
Guy up to fail with a statement like that.
No, I agree. But the question was number one tight end, a starting tight end of one of 32 who could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be in he'll be fine as a starting tight end because they will scheme things up for him. But look, he'll catch balls at and beyond the sticks very smoothly. But Jonnu Smith ran past people and ran over people, and Anthony Firkser's not going to run past people or run over people. So it's very different.
Paul's dead on. And I had never thought about it like that, or I had never heard somebody say it like that, which is, Firkser's going to be your number one tight end, but that doesn't really make him a number one tight end. Now, again, Kelce, Kittle, like, no.
They're on a different level.
No one is saying that they're going to be that guy. Now, Byard said...
He doesn't need to be Kittle.
Byard said top flight, and I hear that, and I think, like, even I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit. But I was thinking about all the tight ends... When Peyton Manning was in Denver and in Indianapolis, Marcus Pollard. Now, Dallas Clark was pretty good, and I don't expect Firkser to be Dallas Clark. Marcus Pollard, Ben Utek, Jacob Tammy, who also went with him to Denver. That is what you're probably looking at as far as Firkser is concerned. The Ravens had a guy like this for years by the name of Dennis Pitta. And Dennis Pitta was a really good, sure-handed tight end. Now, before that, they had Todd Heap. And Todd Heap was a bad boy. Firkser is not a bad boy. So I think as long as we can just be honest with ourselves and say, okay, you need him to be Ben Utek. You need him to be Jacob Tammy. You don't need him to be a star. You need him to be Owen Daniels, who Peyton had in Denver. Once you have that I think I'm okay with. The idea, though, that people are talking about, oh, my goodness, Anthony Firkser could be an elite tight end, as Delanie Walker said. I don't know. And I still think they're taking him out to block, which you know I hate. I hate when you take a guy out and you put somebody else in the game. Ben Utek in 2006 for the Indianapolis Colts, 37 catches, 377 yards. That's probably what you're looking at. 400 yards. Can you throw the ball more now? And Utek Clark was there until he got hurt. 400 yards, 45 catches, couple of touchdowns. That's what you're looking at with Firkser. What I do worry about, though, to Paul's point, is that Jonnu Smith He had 8 touchdowns last year. I mean, that big body in the red zone, that's a big body in the red zone. That athleticism to be able to toss it to him on a pitch like they did in the New Orleans game a couple years ago, you ain't pitching the ball out to Anthony Firkser.
You make a fair point, but adding Julio Jones completely changes this offense.
But it doesn't change what you're going to get from, like, if you're down in the red zone, you might throw more touchdowns to Julio, but you're not getting 8 touchdowns from Firkser.
No.
So that's the thing. I think what's crazy is, as far as roles are concerned on offense this year, I think you're more likely to see Anthony Firkser play the role that Adam Humphries played as the slot receiver in the past than you are to expect Anthony Firkser to play the tight end role that Jonnu Smith and Delanie Walker have played in the past. I think Julio Jones, like if it's all one pie, yeah, you're going to get more to Julio and you're going to get more to Firkser because there's not a lot there beneath it. But I think, you know, that slot role, that third down, third and six, you know, he's going to look to Firkser. But as far as top flight tight end, probably not. Like, I believe this. I think there are 32 guys in the league better than Anthony Firkser. So if that's what defines a number one tight end, some people will tell you that number one tight end means, like, would they be a starter on a fantasy football team? No.
No.
He's not going to be that. But do I think he's one of the 32 best in the league? I would say no to that, too. Like, there are teams that will have 2 tight ends that are better. Like, for example, I think, Denver has Noah Fant, and they have somebody else who's actually pretty good. New England's got Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Like, there are teams that have multiple tight ends that are, and those guys are going to have tight ends better in the future. I don't love it, but that's where you are right now.
But and to play devil's advocate here, very few teams in the NFL have 2 wide receivers that are that good.
No, I'm not saying that this to me has nothing to do with wide receivers. This is about,
I'm just talking pass catchers here.
As far as, I mean, I'm not saying the Titans are going to have good enough pass catchers.
Right.
But if you're asking me, you know, can Firkser blossom as a tight end and be a...
Just as the tight end position is concerned, I think Anthony Firkser is there because who else is going to be?
Well, they tried and, well, I don't know how hard they tried. But I think they thought they could go in the draft and go get a starter. And then they didn't. And then they drafted Dylan Raidens. And now that looks bad. But maybe in 6 months it'll look good.
I don't know. I think he's going to have a big role in the red zone.
Firkser?
Yeah, kind of.
But he's never been a high touchdown guy.
Well, that's because he's never been the number one on that depth chart. You know, they've been using Jonnu in that position a lot. And without Jonnu being there, I do think he's going to have a hybrid tight end, hybrid slot role, like you had mentioned there.
Sure.
And I do think on third down in the red zone, he will be valuable. I do think he will have a higher touchdown. He won't. I don't know if he'll get 8, but I think he'll get at least 5.
So here's the thing about Firkser and the offense, which is how much do they believe he can block? And people hate when I bring this up.
It's not fun to talk about.
No, it's not. But it is important to talk about. Third and goal from the 4-yard line. If he can't block, he can't play. Like, that is, in theory, a passing situation. But you're going to want them to think there's a possibility you will run that ball in. So you're going to have to put. I think you're going to see the blocking tight ends. Mykole Pruitt was the guy they loved to do this with over the years. And I'm surprised Pruitt's not back. But Mykole Pruitt, they loved the play action boot, toss it out to Pruitt. So the blocking tight end is the guy who, when you get closer into that red zone, unless it's like a 3rd and 7 at the 7, 3rd and goal at the 7, then you bring in your passer, your receiving group. But that's why Firkser's got to be able to block. And so, I mean, look, Tommy Hudson, I brought his name up. I have no idea if he'll make the team. But, I mean, he looks like a big, tall, kind of lean, just blocker. Well, can he catch the ball a little bit? Because that's going to be important. Swaim has been hurt. They brought back Stocker. I mean, I think Firkser, again, Ben Utek, that's what you need. Aaron Kinney, he was here for a little bit behind Frank Wycheck. That's what you need. Bo Scaife, who was a similar tight end, I believe, to Firkser. Probably a little bit better than Firkser. But Bo Scaife, when Vince Young was the quarterback here, that's probably what you need a little bit. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I mean, I got to tell you, Nashville SC still barking, or Nashville SC fans still barking at me on Twitter. I just got to, once I discuss something, like, I'm over it. So I wish they would just get over it too. Coming up next here on Stillman and Company, we will get to your thoughts. We'll get to your texts. But the Hall of Fame game is tonight. And there is one very popular team that some people think will be pretty good that I just do not believe in. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell everybody out there, which I think is very, very important. Let me tell everybody out there.
Super important.
Super important. This Saturday, catch a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe at 9 a.m. Brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair. Can I say this about the Grand Prix?
I would love for you to.
Okay, so we all know me in racing, right?
Yeah, you're not big on it.
Couldn't give two poops. But I understand the importance of big crowds and big, you know, money in downtown.
It's fun. It's a big event.
There are things I care about that other people don't care about.
Yeah, fair.
I understand that. It better be worth it. Because I have heard about 18 people complain to me about all the shutdowns downtown for this Grand
Prix. Traffic is going to be bonkers.
It better be worth it. It better be worth it for all the pain and suffering that I have had to go through listening to people complain about how scared they are of what the roads are going to be like with the shutdowns downtown. So that's all I'm going to say about that. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving. Hall of Fame game tonight. I have a Hall of Fame game thought. We'll get to in just a second. But I do want to get to your Titans text as promised. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what's in there?
One texter texts in and says, I think Titans fans are just really used to having super solid tight ends and not two stud wide receivers.
Okay, so I'm not really sure how to, like, I'm not sure how to compartmentalize that simply because at some point, like, you got to get used to dealing with something else. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I don't know what it's like. Well, you know, Titans fans aren't used to it, so they're going to overhype Ferkser because they're not used to. Like, no, this is your tight end. He's probably the 35th best tight end in the league. That's your tight end. Just because you're used to having Frank Wycheck, or you're used to having Delanie Walker, or even used to having Jonnu Smith, doesn't make Anthony Ferkser any better. And just because you're used to having Corey Davis, or you're used to investing in Andre Johnson, or Eric Decker, or Rishard Matthews, doesn't make Julio Jones any worse. So I don't really know like what to tell that texter as far as Ferkser's concerned.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the question I still have with Ferkser is, can he block? And something that I disagree with TD on is TD thinks that all Ferkser has to do is get in the way. And I don't believe that. I mean, I think if you're going to be on this team, you have to block. Like, if you're going to be on the field on first down with Derrick Henry, you are going to have to be able to block. Corey Davis on all those long touchdowns that Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown had, he was blocking. He wasn't getting in the way. He was blocking. And when you're on the line of scrimmage, which is what Mike Vrabel and what the system likes to do, you're going to have to be able to block. So I told you, I watched the tight ends yesterday at practice go into the tackling sled. And Tommy Hudson and Luke Stocker and maybe even Miller Forrestall all drilled the sled a lot harder than Anthony Ferkser did. Now, that being said, Tommy Hudson's spot isn't guaranteed. Neither is Luke Stocker's. He didn't have a job last week. So maybe Ferkser's just kind of warming up in the warm-up, and those guys are trying to show out. But I did notice that Ferkser didn't really push the sled that much, and I was a little concerned about that. What's next?
Dave in Kentucky texts in and says, why are we putting any weight on what Paul says? The team believes in sure hands Ferkser, and so should we.
So I don't do this thing like, of the team thinks this, so it's got to be true.
I don't operate in that environment.
Now, I also don't operate in the, well, if Paul Kaharsky said it, it must be true, too. Like, I'm not, you know, like, I mean, I think Paul's right. Like, I mean, I think Paul, in this case, this is the second day in a row that I've had to take Paul's back. I mean, the other thing was on the Drew Rosenhaus skirmish.
Yeah.
But that was more principle, where I just felt like if you're Rosenhaus, you don't have to be such a tool about everything. I just like, do you really need to be that way? Like, honestly, like
we get it.
And like, he votes on the Hall of Fame. So if
you should be kissing his butt.
If, well, yeah, I mean, like, I'll use an example, and I don't know who Corey Dillon's rep by, but you know how I feel about Corey Dillon in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So If I was Corey Dillon and that guy was my agent and he got personal on the sidelines like that over something stupid, I would be mad with a guy who votes in the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying. But I agree. He's saying, like, look, Ferkser can get the job done, but this idea that he's going to be more than that, it's not true. And I agree. Floyd, one time, Ferkser came for the practice squad. Ian, you'll back me up on this. Floyd used to love to just read media guides. I've never seen anything like it. He would just sit there in the office and read the media guide.
That's so
Turn
sweet.
The page and read the media guide. Turn the page. And one page of the Titans media guide has all the practice squad guys. And on it, one time, he looked at all the practice squad guys, and he goes, you know, you always think about the practice squad and how there could be a hidden gem on there. And he looks at it, goes, 20 years of practice squad guys and not one of them worth really anything. And I kind of laughed. And there were some guys that made the team and some guys that some good, but there weren't any, like, all pros.
Right.
That were practice squad guys. That made. Ferkser is a practice squad guy. So he'll be able to help, but that's what he'll be able to do. He'll be able to help. So the Steelers are in the Hall of Fame game tonight. ESPN's Mike Clay took the most improved teams this offseason. Kind of like how we were talking about the Athletic ripping on the Predators improvements.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where the Steelers rank according to ESPN's Mike Clay. And I don't even know who Mike Clay is, but guess where?
Mike Clay, great guy, fantasy football expert. Used to work with him. Nice person.
The one thing I'll say about the fantasy football people. Like, we used to always love having Matthew Berry on at the Combine.
Oh, great guy.
Because he knows, like, every player on your roster.
Mike Clay, Field Yates as well. Oh, those guys know everything about any guy who may be on waivers, practice squad guys. Like, guys you haven't even heard of. These guys know where they went to college and all of their stats.
It was funny because Matthew Berry first got started at ESPN when Floyd was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Floyd was thinking, like, man, if I had known what fantasy football was going to be, I could have made a bajillion dollars doing fantasy football. As a former NFL general manager, to be like, all right, I'm the fantasy football, like the first guy to be like, I'm the fantasy football guru.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, would have made a bajillion dollars doing it.
It has the craziest following. Quick side story. We produced shows for the College Football National Championship, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, big time shows. We never had more comments and interaction on any of those shows than we did on our daily fantasy football show for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
We had hundreds, if not thousands, of comments daily on our fantasy football show.
Because it applies to everybody, though.
Yeah. And it was like a little community.
It's not like an Orioles-White Sox game, which only applies to Oriole fans mm-hmm. and White Sox fans. It literally applies to everybody. But so Mike Clay has the Steelers ranked 32nd in terms of improvement. They fell off at the end of last year. Do we think the Steelers are a good team? Again, we're not going to know tonight in the Hall of Fame game.
Right.
But just in general, do we think they're a good team?
You know, I hate to say this because, well, SportsCenter aired this piece last night where Sal Palantonio chatted with Mike Tomlin about he and Ben Roethlisberger's relationship, his hopes for this season. I really like Mike Tomlin. He is a dude. I don't think they're going to be good this year. I think Big Ben he's just done. He's past his prime. He doesn't do anything for me, and I don't think that the Steelers are going to be any sort of impact makers this season.
Here's the thing that bothers me about kind of the list we made yesterday of teams in the AFC that we consider threats to the Titans. We're ruling out every team that was bad last year with the exception of the Patriots and the Chargers, and that's based upon two people, Bill Belichick and Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, I don't think we really believe in the Patriots or really believe in the Chargers, which only leaves the Ravens, Browns, Bills, and Chiefs as teams that we think are legitimate threats to the Titans. And we did not put the Steelers in that category. But doesn't there have to be some surprise team every year?
Yes, but I don't think it's the Steelers. I think if there's a surprise team, I think it could potentially be the Dolphins.
Okay, I can listen to Dolphins. But, I mean, I'm just going through and thinking in my head, like, it's not the Broncos.
No.
It's not the Raiders.
I mean, you're not going to call the Browns a surprise team.
No. They're so Cleveland, Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Okay.
Those are the teams that, I mean, we look at and say, okay, those are threats. Like, those are legitimate threats in the AFC.
I mean, Mike Greenberg said this morning that his pick for Rookie of the Year is Najee Harris, running back for the Steelers, which
they don't have an offensive line.
I was working, doing whatever around the house. I heard that and I said, what? So no, I'm not very high on the Steelers.
Okay. So if it's not them, not going to be the Bengals.
No.
Not going to be Denver or the Raiders.
I don't think the Bengals are going to be absolutely horrific, but I don't think they're going to be a surprise team.
Well, that's because you went to LSU and they have all your players.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. But, okay.
But.
So, not the Bengals, not the Raiders.
No.
Like, we can dump on the Raiders, right? Coach.
The Raiders feel like, to me, your classic 8-8. And I know that's not how many games there are this season, but that's what the Raiders are to me. Just a very 500 team. So, no, I don't think that they're going to be that team. For me, one team that we could be overlooking that isn't the Patriots or the Chargers is the Dolphins.
The Patriots. That might be the only one.
Yeah.
We're going to feel really stupid. I mean, like, we're going to feel really dumb when the New York Jets are finding their way towards the play. I'm just telling you, there's got to be some team.
The Jets, really?
I'm just saying.
You don't believe that.
No, I don't. I'm just saying there's got to be a team. Like, I'm using them as an example. Okay. Like, some team that there's no freaking way.
And the Jaguars?
No.
I would lean the Jaguars more than the Jets, but.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm just throwing out some team that we know that sucks and we know is not going to be good. And then all of a sudden they're going to be good. It's like,
no, you're
what
right.
The hell?
There will
the
be a Jags? Team that we didn't anticipate. And they're going to be fighting for that last spot for sure.
Yeah.
Caroline's coming up next. Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman and Company. The Hall of Fame game is tonight. And again, 4 million people on average watch the Hall of Fame game. Now, that was pre-COVID. I have no idea, you know, in a post-COVID world, what the, because all the ratings have been down, you know, for the most part. But the ratings for the Hall of Fame game, about 4 million people watch. And I think it's amazing and insane to think that LeBron and Steph Curry in a play-in game, two of the biggest superstars in the NBA, got 5 million people to watch. So we will keep an eye on that, but it is time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yours truly at 7 and 5, Caroline at either 4 or 5 and 7.
So Jamaica won their heat yesterday, qualify the fastest through the final. Jamaica wins, baby.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm
Is that how that works? Does that pay out in that case?
Well, it's not the final, but they were the fastest in the semifinal, and that's what I picked them to be.
Okay.
They won their heat, and they had the fastest overall time. The USA just stunk up the place
they
yesterday.
Were awful.
They didn't even advance to the final.
Caroline at 5 and 7. Let's do it.
So you mentioned the NFL Hall of Fame game. I am going to take the Steelers against the spread, -2.5, -115, to beat the Cowboys tonight in the Hall of Fame game.
So I'm going to go with the Steelers, too. Why are you picking the Steelers? I have a very specific reason.
Okay, then you tell me your specific reason, because I don't really necessarily have one.
Because this is all bottom of the roster guys.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Colbert's the general manager of the Steelers. Great general manager. Jerry Jones is the general manager of the Cowboys.
No
Bad
set.
General manager, I'll go Kevin Colbert.
Fair. Very fair. I also have a few baseball games tonight. Reds, Pirates play tonight. Give me Pirates on the money line. I don't love this value. It's -250, but I don't necessarily like the spread either. The Reds are throwing out Sonny Gray on the mound, who's 4-2-6, 3-6 in 15 starts. So he faced the Pirates on May 12th. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to take the Reds on the money line.
I'm taking Reds on the money line.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Pirates. I'm going to take the Reds on the money line. The Pirates are absolutely terrible. The Pirates are 30th in runs, 19th in hits in the league. The Reds are 6th and 5th, respectively, in runs and hits. The Pirates are 3-7 their last 10 games. They lost all 7 games by 2 or more runs. Give me the Reds and Sonny Gray against the Pirates and Will Crow.
Yeah, I'm taking the Reds. The Pirates are terrible.
Pirates are bad.
When you said you were going to take the Pirates, I was like,
yeah, I did not mean that. I take it back. So Reds on the money line. We also have Cubs-Rockies tonight. Give me the Rockies on the money line. I do mean that one, -170. The Cubs are throwing out Jake Arrieta on the mound. He's got a 6.20 ERA, 5-10 in 18 starts. Arrieta has lost his 6 straight starts over his last 9 games. The Cubs have lost his last 6 starts. Rockies right-hander Antonio Senzatella is out on the mound. He's 4-5-8, 2-8 in 17 starts. So not a great record, but he has gone six or more innings in six of his last seven starts. So he's nice longevity there. And also the Cubs just don't have any of their good players anymore.
I'm going to take the Cubs. And the reason I'm going to take the Cubs to be different is...
To be different?
Really, to be different. I mean, honestly. That sinker ball from Arianna, from Arietta, that sinker ball Arietta throws... If it doesn't sink at Coors Field, it's gone.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Cubs.
Bold.
The Braves and the Cardinals. I got burned taking the Cardinals the other night. I am going to take the Cardinals tonight. Because let me tell you something about the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves are sitting at 54-54. This is about the 18th billion time that they find themselves at 500 this year. And every time they found themselves at 500, they lose. Give me the Cardinals plus 1.5. I will take them again, even though I like Tukey Toussaint and I don't think Wade LeBlanc's any good for the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are just not great this year. I will take the Cardinals plus 1.5.
I'm going to take the Cardinals on the money line. Every time the Braves win, they lose, and the Braves have won two in a row, so I feel good about the Cardinals tonight.
They absolutely have to lose. That's it for us. We are out of here. ESPN Radio coming up next. We will be back tomorrow at 2 after Titans practice. See you then.